Next up, we have two speakers for the prize of one. They are going to talk about everything that has to do with an more open source version of Tailscale. So let's give an applause to Christopher and Joanne.
Hello. Okay, this is cool. Hello, my name is Christopher, and I'm going to, together with Juan there, talk a bit about how we use integration testing to kind of re-implement the control panel or the control server of Tailscale. So first, a little bit about us. Juan Fontalonso is the creator of Headscale. He works for the European Space Agency on cloud and DevOps and infrastructure. He claims to have been my first manager, but I think that's incorrect. And he has the attention span of a goldfish.
Which makes the whole collaboration very fun. And I'm here with Christopher. He's a top contributor of Headscale and one of the other maintainers alongside me. He's part of the technical staff at Tailscale, and part of his time paid by Tailscale is to work improving Headscale. I was his manager, at least from a hierarchical point of view. And one of the challenges we have is that he always finds this kind of super niche languages like OCaml or things like that, and where he tries to re-implement Headscale in. But first of all, how many people here know Tailscale? And Headscale? Good.
That's pretty good. So for the people who don't know, we'll do like a quick tweak. What is Tailscale? So Tailscale tries to solve this problem where you basically sit and you want to connect your organization or home or something like this, and you have an old school or like legacy VPN concentrator where you connect into your kind of perimeter, you have access to absolutely everything, there's a single point of failure and a massive bottleneck. And it tries to do this by creating like a mesh VPN that uses direct connections, WireGuard, and kind of facilitates this for you using like techniques like NatTraversal, and has a very, very powerful client that will make sure that you always reach like what you're trying to get to, and it offers a lot of different kind of granular access, and you get a lot more power compared to your old school bottleneck single point of failure VPN.
And in Tailscale, the clients are open source, at least for the open platforms, and what they have is a closed SaaS. But still, they are quite open when it comes to explaining how the whole thing works. And in March 2020, they published a blog post basically explaining how the whole thing worked, how they use these NatTraversal techniques so you don't have to open the ports in your router. And there was a phrase in this blog post that gathered my attention for a little bit, and was basically talking about a coordination server, that the clients talk to a coordination server, the core of this software as a service offering, which is essentially a shared Dropbox for these WireGuard public keys. So I was puzzled by that, and basically I took that open source clients and started reverse engineering. Basically, a lot of printfs to see what kind of payload were they sending, what kind of endpoints or protocol they were doing. This was around April 2020. In June, I had a lot of free time at that time. And in June, I did the initial release. I talked to my friend Christopher about Tailscale, and he was very happy distributing WireGuard keys with Ansible, which, so I kept doing my own thing for a while. Headscale gained a little bit of traction, and around mid-2021, he joined because he was quite curious about the whole thing. But he was afraid about breaking stuff, and that's why kind of we are here. Although he was not afraid of making a logo, that I think is super nice. So what I've learned doing this reverse engineering exercise is that the Tailscale clients talk to what is basically a web service. This web service receives metadata from the clients, like the endpoints or the WireGuard public keys that they use, and assigns them IP addresses, like you would have in a classic traditional VPN service. Once everybody knows about everything, you can establish this mesh network across the clients without intervention, because the data doesn't go through the web service. So we arrived to the initial stage of head scale, the illusion that everything works, and kind of worked until it stopped doing. So we had this web service, we implemented the web service, the series of endpoints that we found in the reverse engineering exercise, and we were assigning an IP address to the when that node arrives. And what happens when a second node arrives? Hey, we want to tell that I'm here, and I want to find my friends, and I want to communicate with them. So in order to handle that, and to handle the given all the data, the metadata that you need to establish the connections, we develop a little bit of a state machine that to handle a new node has arrived, there's been a change in the map of the network, and we need to distribute the updated metadata that we have. However, at that time, I was kind of learning Go, and we follow a little bit of a weird approach when handling concurrency, which was basically adding more mutex every time we needed it. And this is a problem because at the end we ended up with a great mutex for this state machine, and this is a very big problem because the Python track is tomorrow, so the gridlocks are over there.
So what ended up happening inside the state machine, or what didn't end up happening, was that basically some of the failure modes we saw was that a new node tried to register, and then we burned a couple of CPU cycles trying to calculate some stuff, and then we did nothing. So no updates were sent out or anything. Sometimes we would have a new node joining, and we would compute everything, send some network traffic. We just omitted the new information that was kind of crucial for everyone to know. So it ended up not working. And sometimes a new node joined, nothing really happened, but then eventually something happens, and it sent out an update to everyone, and that was, you know, useful. And sometimes on the like individual update channels for each node, some of these aforementioned mutexes kind of deadlocked up the whole thread or the Go routine, and then we just never sent updates to particular nodes, and sometimes we just deadlocked the whole server, and you kind of had to kick it to make it come back to life. But still, there was kind of this notion that it did work pretty well eventually most of the time, and it gave kind of like this illusion of working. And because what you often saw was that you had like three nodes, and only two of them actually talked together. And as long as those had received the updates they needed, you know, the user was happy, and you're just like, ah, it works. So I'm going to, you know, press the star sign on GitHub and share it with my friends. So, but we figured that eventually this would like caught up with us, and we're trying to get to this stage where we, you know, it works most of the time. So what we did have was a fair amount of unit tests. But the problem with unit tests is that we're trying to reverse engineering something, that we're also learning how it works. And what we spent a lot of time on was misunderstanding how it was supposed to work, writing unit tests that would pass, but they were wrong. So you kind of have like a passing test, and it's an entirely wrong implementation. And 90% of what we were actually trying to do was integrate with a third-party software. And this is where we get to actual integration tests. So what I started doing was I found this Docker test framework, which basically allows you like programmatically create Docker containers. So we started making tests that spun up a head scale container. It created a bunch of tail scale instances also running in Docker, and associated them with a couple of users and tried to like emulate the entire environment so you can test everyone to everyone. We had them join the head scale server, and since it takes a little bit of time for everyone to catch up with each other and, you know, send the updates and stuff, so we put a sleep of 2 minutes in front of the test, which is a terrible idea, but, you know, you learn. And then after that sleep runs out, presumably everyone is now up to date and can talk to each other. So we had a test. The most basic test is my network working? Can everyone ping everyone? So we tried to do that. And of course, that didn't work because of all of the errors we actually had in the code. I ran some initial, like, tried to make some statistics on my laptop, and out of like 100 test runs, we had 70 failures, That's pretty bad. But at this point, we're starting to approach, like, we have an actual goal that we can measure, so we can improve on this. And quite rapidly, we figured out that these two big blocks of problems that we have is associated with two things. So one of them is the being able to reliably send updates to all of our clients, which is the kind of deadlock problem that the update channels were just locking up and didn't really work. So we made a massive, massive rewrite PR that redid the whole logic and made sure that we always were able to send an update to the client as long as it was connected. And then the other problem was the state machine that was very broken. And then we kind of figured out that we can make a global state and we try to simplify it initially and optimize later. So basically a global state, how can we determine if everyone is up to date and make sure that we know when you last received a successful update, and if not, we have to reissue one to make sure that you know everything.
However, changing the Rambo culture takes a little bit of time. We kept merging stuff without proper integration testing, but as Christopher said, we didn't have the incentive, we didn't have the pressure because the thing really worked. It's not the same when you are in your home lab and you join a node than when you are joining 100 nodes within 1 second. So if you are slow, you are slowly joining machines to your tailnet, things were working. However, the project was gaining popularity and we were increasing more and more in contributions, in external PRs. And this was around August 2021 or September, something like that. So, but we were, it was great. We were getting to a point where we could improve Headscale with confidence. We had a, we could improve Headscale with confidence in three aspects. Technical, from a technical point of view, given that the project started as a reverse engineering effort, we had a lot of stuff that was not that great. We could improve or maintain the compatibility with these third-party external clients that we are using, and we could improve from a community point of view. I'm going to talk a little bit about this now. For starters, we could improve from a technical point of view. We could do massive refactoring within the project or implementation of the second version of Telescale protocol without breaking the existing users. The only thing that breaks is probably the mental health of the reviewer that has to deal with 3,000 lines of code. But that's a different thing. Then, as I said, we have this minor small detail that we completely depend on a third-party client, because we are using exactly the same